blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy, blessed day. Oh, happy, blessed place. Oh, happy, blessed time. Oh, happy, blessed path. Oh, happy, blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply bow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyambi tatyambi savaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
There are backpacks in the back for folks who are new to practice. And Nancy, you're certainly welcome to come up closer with us.
I'm going to do that in a minute.
And you are in white. So a reminder that Sunday morning groups are recorded and made available to monthly donors. What shall we look at this morning?
I'm going back to Georgia for 2 weeks, leaving Tuesday, and I'm going to be seeing a lot of family that I see about once every 2 years, mm-hmm. or one day. I'll see them part of a day, and that just gets lots of stuff going. Mm-hmm. And having just been in the retreat at Carmel, a lot of that a lot of that pressure eased up. Mm-hmm. And I felt free to go and just be June, mm-hmm. and just be in the moment, whatever there is, mm-hmm. and be with life. And that was lovely. And then I came back. mm-hmm. And it is talking to me a lot again, and his favorite ploy is to have conversations with various members of the family. And
so can I you won't forget where you're going if I can stop right
there?
I'm
not really going anywhere.
Okay. We really are we? So just it's so interesting. So very familiar for you as you're going back on this journey, that it sounds like seeing this particular group of people happens once every couple of years, and that it can stir up a lot of things, and that being on retreat, it sounds like allowed the attention to be somewhat freed up from that, and that you could just be there, just be June, just be in the moment with whatever is in the retreat environment. And then coming home, it starts up again.
At the retreat, my fantasies changed from awkward conversations to a much more relaxed, open gym. It was still the fantasy. Uh-huh. That's a good point. Uh-huh. Not so much fantasy as just leaving them. Well, it is kind of fantasy. It's just good enough. I mean, that's as good a word for it, I think. Uh-huh. But yeah, I guess, yeah, because the retreat fostered presence and being with life. Even the fantasies were fantasies of.
Yeah, which is interesting, isn't it? I mean, from what you're saying, there's a way in which, yes, that was drawing you out of the moment, out of what is, because you're not in Georgia yet. You're not with those people. We don't know how it's going to go. We don't, you know, any of those things. But very interesting to see that in the retreat environment where presence, and I don't know what other adjectives you would put there, open-heartedness, you know, being able to be who we are, acceptance, is fostered in that environment, that's carried through also into the fantasies.
Yes. This thinks it knows how it will go.
Exactly.
Because it's so, always, it's so, usually does go that way.
Right.
And I don't want it to go that way.
And there it is. Right.
Not that it's wrong.
Yep.
There's just no depth to it.
Yes.
And not that I want us to just plunge into
it. Yes. Yes. Yes.
And then the question keeps coming up: why do I do this?
Mm-hmm. Which is the next conversation? Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting though, even the way you describe it, you're really illustrating why it always goes the way conditioning says it's going to go. Right? It seems like conditioning makes this prediction, and then, see, it's actually right, it does go that way. But, I mean, that illustration of what are the fantasies like when you're at home, and what are the fantasies like when you're in ML on retreat, really illustrates how so much of what's going on, you could almost say everything, is being orchestrated from inside the head. So if I'm completely inside of the story of how it's going to go, of course it's going to go that way.
Yeah. That way is pretty comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's not going to be any unpleasant surprises.
Right.
Probably.
Right.
Comfort seeking is huge karma for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maintaining the status quo is huge karma for me.
Yeah. 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 So that place of comfort, it's comfortable, it's familiar, nothing out of the ordinary is going to happen. Yeah. Which to me is what can make the, you know, I don't really want it to go that way. We can use that to our advantage. Because, yeah, I mean, there's a way in which that could be a non-acceptance place. I want it to be different than it is. But what I hear you describing is more that place of, it doesn't have to be that way.
It doesn't have to be that way. And as you're talking, certainly recording and listening
exactly. Can
be a huge assist
huge.
In that.
Huge.
And what I'm also seeing as you're talking is that I assume that other people are having the experience I think they're having.
Right.
Because they seem always to have the same one. Someone is having the same experience.
Yes, exactly.
Not sure. Well, I am pretty sure who that is. But you know, that's probably not true either. I think there's just a story going about. Sure there are common elements, because the cast of characters, and the locale, etc. Does very much. But you know, just talking about it, I'm dropping back into that open place.
Exactly.
That place of possibilities.
Yeah. You
know, there's just so much bigger than this story.
And again, using that, what you saw, that retreat process, kind of to your advantage. Because we could almost say that when you're on retreat, you're seeing from a different place.
Yeah.
And so to make recordings from that place, Yeah, and all the tools, you know, it's the old, like, what would Jesus do? What would the Buddha do? Because we know we can drop into that place. And so to make recordings from that place. And even down to things like assisting ourselves when we get into the place, because almost certainly we will, where we're in the situation and it feels like this is exactly the same thing. Oh my God, I thought it was going to be different because this time I made recordings and I was seeing these new things and why isn't it different? And see, they really are this way. Because we are going to go, it's going to happen, right? And to look at, you know, it's that Aikido move of to look at that place from that open, larger perspective. So yes, that place of, you know, what's possible if I really were present with these people, you know, very likely the relationships would transform, you know. Is it going to be...
In the 3 hours that we're together,
right? Is it going to be right now, in this moment? Maybe not. You know, maybe not. But only ego, that's what ego does, right? I would project that's what it was doing on the retreat. There you are in that open place. And really, all it can do is to move with you in the same direction for a little bit. And then just quietly, as you're starting to get lulled by that, take a right turn, right? Oh, and from now on, it's gonna... And we don't realize, wow, we're just right back in the conditional. And I would project this, the original movement was towards the unconditional, which is what always creates that openness, that, you know, generosity of spirit, that unconditional love. Because, of course, you know, we say it all the time in practice, but it's because it's true, that if you were living, if you were making those recordings and living from that place yourself, regardless of what happened in those 3 hours, that half day, that could be the experience that you're having. And even if it feels like, well, that didn't change anything, we don't actually know that.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't.
We don't know what impact that's having on anyone else around us, consciously or unconsciously.
Yeah, I'm just sitting and looking at this, a world of assumptions and beliefs based on history. That might not have happened.
Right. And even if it did.
Things are really tricky.
What's a really tricky
thing? Memory being a really tricky
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. Yeah, that may or may not have happened, and often for me I just stop and realize, wow, each person, we would guess, is exactly like me in the sense of is inside of an experience that, you know, want to be loved, want to be accepted, doing the best they can with what they've got right now.
Yes, that's a really good thing to remember.
And then, you know, the huge gift in making that movement that we're talking about, where I'm in the situation that I get to be with my attention on presence, is that the gift that, at least for me, I experience in that is to move from what am I going to get from you to how can I be of assistance? And the thing is that could sound like such a martyr place, but it's the opposite of that. I'm the ultimate recipient of that movement.
That's good to remember too. The other thing is I'm aware that a lot of this comes from a younger gene. In fact, it's I'm not a matriarch. I'm the oldest person in the family.
Wow.
So that's just interesting.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if this is where you're going with that, but that
I wasn't going anywhere.
Okay, well, that could be a really fun place to play with in terms of sort of that guided imagery place of taking yourself to from looking from a different vantage point. Because, I mean, certainly not in all settings, but in some settings, the matriarch could be the one to stand for the unconditional love, to stand for acceptance, to stand for having that largest, biggest, you know, most years on the planet perspective. And it could be fun to play with that, you know, because, at least for me.
Yeah, just play with it.
You just play with it, right?
In a lighthearted way.
In a lighthearted way. The conditioned perspective is like, well, that's not me, But again, from that place of like, what would Jesus do? Often we can actually step into that place. And just that playing with the, okay, well, what would the matriarch do? You know, let's just play. What if I were the matriarch? What would I? Just kind of invite her in, if you will.
Thank you.
That brought up a few things. First of all, I recently visited with my daughter,
uh-huh.
And I had talked in group about the fact that I hadn't seen her for a few months, and in the time since I saw her, we went through the hardest patch I can ever remember in our relationship, I wasn't stepping into the conditioned mother role, you know, that society, that a lot of folks out there say what a mother does, what my daughter believes what a mother does.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But standing back from that bigger perspective, seeing that it's not what the heart does.
Wow.
And really hard to risk, it felt at the time, risking the end of the relationship.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, I kept, courage is the word that keeps coming up.
Mm-hmm. And she really, you know, we had a really hard conversation, and, you know, she was, she was just scared, and, this is not acceptable, and, and still staying. True to the heart, and so going to see her was this kind of, well, I don't know what we're going to find here.
Right.
I mean, everywhere from the fantasy of there's going to be folks there that are going to kidnap me when I get to the door and take me to a deprogrammed you know, because that has been mentioned, that, you know. Not that they would take me to the program, but I have been programmed to something. And so here's the experience of going there, and externally, I didn't see a whole lot shift in the way we interact, although there was a whole lot more attention on reflective listening with everyone in her life and with her.
Uh-huh. As you would encounter
people. As I would encounter people. Uh-huh. Yeah, just like,
using that tool of reflective listening.
Just wanting to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And the visit went, like I said, same as usual, and, at the end there was this little bit of, like, oh gosh, I thought that somehow we had, broken through, but we had. in the going, stepping away from it, there's just like so much more love available, I feel. And I actually felt that from her too. There was a whole lot more acceptance. From her, and it wasn't until I stood back I could see Yes. And that the transformation that had taken place.
Yeah. It's such a good illustration of how often the story of what's so ends up being the final word and it gets filed away as that.
Yeah.
But that what it sounds like as you were going through this visit, that as you were coming up to it, this very difficult thing had happened beforehand. Mm-hmm. You got to the visit, so it was this sense of, what's this going to be like? And large emphasis on reflective listening with her and other people in her life. And then at the end of it, sort of that story that wanted to cap it off was, gosh, well, I thought some change had been made here. I thought things were different. Mm-hmm. And then it sounds like just staying in presence and realizing, wow, it has.
Yeah.
There's a lot more love there.
Yeah, there's just so much more. It just feels like so much more freedom.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I'm really getting to a place I had hoped to get to where I can just be way more accepting of her choices, mm-hmm. recognizing her adequacy,
mm-hmm.
and that I don't have to get in there and muck that whole thing up. And
talk about unconditional love.
And that's exactly, yeah. I just feel this has been, Karma wants to label it as, this has taken me a long time, but you know,
that's the way to take it back.
Exactly,
away, right?
Exactly. Yeah. That unconditional love has been such a gradual unfolding, and learning, something that just it was incomprehensible. I didn't unconditional love. It just did not.
Right.
I mean, you know. Karma does not understand that at all. And what that means is you love certain people more than other people and you put up with their garbage.
Uh-huh.
And that's unconditional love.
Uh-huh.
You know. And then just moving to that place of, no, unconditional love is meeting each person, each thing, each whatever form.
Yeah.
And full love, you know,
full love,
open-hearted love,
yeah.
Not, you know, and it's that thing about, you know, when you have a family and then you have a second kid and you think, well, you know, can I love them as much? And mm-hmm. is there just, mm-hmm. it's coming to that place of realizing, oh yes, there's mm-hmm. just. There's just ever-expanding love.
Uh-huh. It's not a limited resource.
And not a limited resource.
Yeah, yeah.
And being able to see for the first time what a difference it would make to everyone if that kind of unconditional love was available. Like, I see my daughter in her situation and I'm it for her. You know, I'm her mom. Everything hangs on me. Mm. She feels very isolated. She's dependent on me. What a different shift to realize that they're all your moms.
Right.
You know, you're all your kids. There's unlimited support for you. You can turn to anybody with that kind of depth of love, which has just made me more fired up to practice that.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's so interesting the way you lay it out that it's as if that, the courage to make that movement of being that which you truly are in your heart, being that mom,
yeah.
instead of the cold mom, right, was the movement to that unconditional love.
Yeah.
Really, I was going to say for you, which is true. I mean, as the beginning of it, that's a huge place of unconditional love for you, that you get to be truly what you are, instead of to have to dance around and be what think I'm supposed to be, or they think I'm supposed to be, or everyone else thinks it's supposed to, how it's supposed to look.
Yeah.
And then so amazing that in that movement, what happens is, I mean, it makes perfect sense, really, mm-hmm. but then you're just naturally able to do that for her, for this, for that, for him, for everything.
Yeah, and it's just where the heart's always wanted to live, and that voice is always yattering to say, you can't be like
no wonder.
You know, and one can see why it's always there, judging every behavior in life. You know, that's just